This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we're live. We're live here both on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. Here for you, here for your pets. And here just to, like I say, talk to pets. Anything you want to talk about is good. And yeah, by the way, I was thinking about this. It doesn't have to be just questions or issues you're having with your pet. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, all over in social media and the news about pets and philosophical issues. I'd love to hear your comments. I'm going to bring up one that, you know, could be a little controversial, maybe. And I would just, you know, again, when it comes to these things, there's really no right or wrong answer. It's what's right for you. And I'm going to give you like a little scenario that, you know, some of you might, I'm just really curious to know how you feel. And I want to wait till we have a few more people online and then we'll talk about it. Cause I would like, hey, B, how are you? How's Hudson this morning? My sister was having issue with one of her many dogs. And I'm just going to check and see how he's doing. Meanwhile, I'm just going to wave and while wait for your questions. And then I'm going to give you, oh my God. So two of you are on. That's great. So I'll start talking about it. So still coughing. Is it as bad? See, you can have a conversation with me about your pet right here live. Everybody can hear. So coughing dog, I'm still concerned that there may be something stuck somewhere in the back of the throat. So especially knowing that he eats grass. I had a cat once, actually, years and years ago, that was really, really, really sick. Stopped eating, salivating. Oh, good. Not as bad. That's great to know. And there was nothing obvious. We opened the mouth, did all sorts of things. So finally, we said, you know, we have to anesthetize this cat and really get a good look. What is going on the very back of the throat? So we anesthetized and I took what's called the spay hook and I was inspecting. Oh, no. So now, well, that makes it more likely with now with two of them, Lincoln doing it too, that is more probably infectious than anything else. And probably a pretty good infection that they got it so quickly. Maybe all because of Thor. So we have to call and blame Thor. And I pulled the soft palate way forward and I found a blade of grass. You know, I don't know my grasses as far as, but it was one of those thick ones. And it was literally all mucusy. It was stuck in there for who knows how long. And it was if this poor cat was having respiratory snot and mucus and coughing and not eating, all because of one blade of grass that got stuck behind the palate from the coming from the sinus. And it was a wreck. And the good news was getting that just a simple blade of grass out of there. And this cat made a 100% rebound recovery. It was fantastic. So, you know, sometimes the simple things are really what we need to do. Now, while I have you on, we're going to talk about this. Hopefully more of you will join on. And there have been articles. I know Time Magazine had an article several years ago, 10 years ago, about the high cost of veterinary care. And oh, by the way, speaking of which, there was a story out that they are now bipartisan, something before Congress, that to allow dogs or pets to have a write-off for up to $1,000 or $2,000 of care through an HSA or whatever account they have, where you can take an HSA account, which is somewhat tax protected, and you can use up to a certain amount of money, depending on the state, for veterinary care. So that means you can save whatever it is. It's going to be like $1,000 of money spent out of your HSA, like a health savings account, that will now allow you to use it for your pets as well, which is pretty cool. And already for, you know, for service animals, if an animal is being prescribed, then it's like medication. That too has been allowed, but it's really cool when you think about it. So anyway, here's the scenario. And there was another article in another national magazine just about the expense and how expensive veterinary care is. And yet one of the things that you have to realize is that our veterinary care today is very different than it was when I started practicing 40 years ago, in the sense that there is so much more advanced medical care, veterinary medical care, because of specialties, because of equipment. I mean, perfect example, one of my colleagues, he was doing his residency in radiology, and his name is Dave Hager, and he was a board certified veterinary radiologist. And they learned all these things, but it was not yet ready into mainstream. And he felt very frustrated as a veterinarian. And so what he did was he went to medical school. So he's a DVM. Then he went to med school to become an MD and an MD radiologist. So he was double boarded as a veterinary radiologist and a medical radiologist and doing all these fancy studies that, you know, that radiologists like to do. Well, then guess what happened? Finally, veterinary medicine caught up. And now he's back to practicing veterinary medicine as a veterinary radiologist, but now doing the CTs and the MRIs and all those advanced things that these veterinarians now can do. Well, surgery, certain surgery, back surgery, spine surgery, brain surgery, all of these things are now, I wouldn't say it's commonplace, but certainly doable. And with that comes a huge, huge price tag. Not because necessarily the veterinarian wants to make money. It's the cost of the equipment. I mean, now laparoscopic surgery, if you want to do laparoscopic surgery, is there such an advantage between a seasoned veterinarian doing a spay with a little incision or going in laparoscopy? You can do a laparoscope, absolutely. Is it going to increase the, yes. Why? Because first of all, the learning curve for the veterinarian is great. There's a cost right there, but the equipment is very expensive. So these are the things that have to be going into consideration. It's not just that veterinarians want to make more money, but from a business standpoint, they have to pay off the equipment that they bought to provide that service for you. But really, here's where the question starts, is when we think about these things, we think about these advanced procedures, and is it going to be something that is an emotional decision or a practical decision? How much we love our pets? How much do we love our pets? How much are we willing to put ourselves in a hole to do a procedure that some procedures aren't not guaranteed? You can do that back surgery, and that's still your pet may still never walk again, okay? Or put them through advanced radiation procedures for a tumor, and it may not work, or that tumor is going to come back. At what point do we look at the big picture and say, okay, yes, of course it's my pet, and my pet is my child, but at what is it really like my child? What happens if my child or a grandchild, right, is in need of major financial help for a health problem, and yet you've already spent it on your pet? When you spent it on your pet was already 11 years old, and right, and where there's 4 or 5 years left, whereas your kid or a grandkid, hopefully you're going to have 50, 60, 70 years left. There's no right answer because everybody is different. But I'm just curious to know, where do you put the brakes? Where do you say, no, I mean, yes, but I like to fix that dog's mouth, but to do orthodontics, you can do it now. Absolutely. You can straighten those teeth, but let's look practically. Is the dog still eating now? Yeah. When's the next time he has to smile for the camera? Well, he doesn't have to show off his teeth. So if he's eating well, he's doing fine, he's acting fine. So at what point do we say, no, I mean, yeah, it would be nice to get the nice teeth and straight, but do we really need it? You know, at what point is, it's like in general, the plastic surgery argument that we often have in dogs. And I do it all the time. And I do a lot of plastics, but is it for form or is it for function? And for me, I don't make the choice unless it's for purely for function. Form doesn't bother me. If the dog looks, you know, whatever, I don't care. A Shar-Pei's got a lot of wrinkles. That's what a Shar-Pei's for. But I have to remove those folds in the skin to stop the skin infection. I'm going to do it. Is he going to look as beautiful as another Shar-Pei? Maybe not, but he's going to feel a whole lot better. So that's my question. At what point, knowing about the high cost of care, do we make decisions that are broader? Make decisions, not just an emotional decision for now, but how much do we think about what the future might lie? What to really delve into it, to do a homework and really see what's going on. And is this really going to solve a problem? If it is something that is, yes, we can do this and solve a problem. The dog is six and we got another. Absolutely. But as you get older, the chances of success start to dwindle, where you hear, oh my God, yeah, we can do this. And 20% of the animals can pull through. How about 80% don't? Do we think about that? So while we're, I'm going to answer some other questions. One on tracheal collapse, coughing getting worse, can't have opioid cough meds due to heart. What else can we do in the lowest dose of theophylline? So, you know, it is a problem with tracheal collapse. Basically, that's a problem where the tracheal rings start to soften. They're just cartilage. And as dogs age, they get these rings start to soften. And the trachea just literally collapses. And the more a dog tries to breathe through this trachea collapse, the more it collapses. It's kind of like when you go like that, you suck in and cheeks go in. Well, that's what happens with the trachea. And so with the opioids and the effect on the heart, yes, it's an issue. I have a case now going through with this where the best cough suppressants are the opioids. Hicodan, Tussagon is called, hydrocodone, hydrocodone bitartrate, which is what it is. That's why it has to be scripted. and you can't call it in. It's a controlled substance, a controlled drug. But yes, there are issues. But what are the ramifications of a dog coughing all the time and possibly not being able to breathe because the trachea collapsed? At what point do you say, you know what? We have to cheat a little bit here to fix this over here. Another perfect example where you have opposing treatments is dogs, and this happens kind of often, a dog with diabetes and Cushing's disease. So we know that Cushing's is in the body's secreting its own steroid, but we know that steroids have an anti-insulin effect. So if you are treating just the diabetes mellitus with insulin every day, twice a day, but the dog also has Cushing's, then it's battling, it's negating some of that insulin. So then you have to increase your insulin. But then if you start treating the Cushing's, how much do you have to increase? Then you could throw them into hypoglycemia. It's a dance. It's so challenging to sort of titrate animals that have these two opposing diseases at the same time. And then what do you do? And that's how I feel about this also, that yes, might there be an effect on the heart? Yes. So my recommendation is you speak to the cardiologist. This is what they're there for. They are specialists. And see if we can't figure out, is there a balance between enough opioid to help with the cough or another alternative for the cough, like theophylline, which I'm telling you, even theophylline, but it helps to a degree, but that's a bronchodilator. With tracheal collapse, we're not talking about trying to dilate the trachea. It's going to collapse anyway because it collapses. So theophylline will help if it's very, very low down. And just as the trachea is about to bifurcate to the right and left main stem bronchi, right? Then, yeah, you might get some benefit of theophylline as well. But for normal trachea collapse, which is going up here, not down here, then it may not help anyway. It's a great question, pretty challenging. So let's see any other things coming up. Let's hear some comments about what the discussion we had. Very philosophical. Is where do you call it quits? When do you say I do it at any means? And by the way, as I said earlier, there's no right answer because everyone is different. Is trazodone prescribed for a dog to say, well, trazodone is something that is, use it for anxiety, use it for relaxation, use it for sedation. It works often. I like it a lot. I like it better than some of the others out there, but there are many options when it comes to that. Gabapentin, Xanax, CBD, Tramadol. What works for some may not work for others. So sometimes it's a matter of trying different things and seeing what works best for you. Well, not for you, for your pet. So let me see if anyone came down and gave me a point of view. I want some points of view. Because mind you guys, there's no right or wrong answer here. Everybody's going to see their pets differently. Everyone's going to respond differently. And decisions are really tough. And by the way, even within yourself, you might make a decision for a certain problem, a certain issue, for a dog that's, say, 5 or 6 or 7 versus a dog that's 11, 12, or 13. And I'm faced with that all the time. I mean, when I did surgery on my 15-year-old dog, everyone thought I was nuts. Hindsight worked out well, but was I prepared for it not to work? Absolutely. But I felt that sometimes you think if you do nothing, what might be the result? What are the ramifications to doing nothing versus the potential ramifications of doing something? When you do something, it might fail. But if you did nothing, it will 100% fail. So it's going back with the arguments back and forth amongst yourselves in your own brain, and trying to come up with the right answer. But in certain, many of these equations, the finances have to come into play. And at what point do you say, you know what, there's a small percent chance I could help, but it's going to cost me $10,000. Well, if you truly had $10,000 sitting around and you will not miss it, then absolutely go for it. But if it's going to cause a strain, if you're going to have to sell something of value, if you're going to have something less to treat in a medical emergency for you or your family, then you have to say, what do I do? My pet's much older. It's not going to last till who knows how longer. At what point do you say, you know what? Emotionally, of course, I would love to help, but practically, I just can't do it. Don't feel badly. I say that all the time to my clients. Don't put yourself into financial strains for a pet if you truly can't do it and you can't get help from somewhere else. Again, I feel, and then the argument comes back, but we always say our pets are our kids. Yeah, they are. They are until you have this battle between a child and your pet, and you can only help one. Now, think about that. So anyway, We're going to break here for a second, then we're going to come back. Hopefully we get some questions. I also have some things that I want to share with you, perusing through the Smart Brief AVMA, some interesting things that I saw. We'll share when I come back out of these messages. Don't go away. If you have any specific questions for your pet, think about it. I'm going to stay here on Instagram, so you can go ahead and text me away. And Mark will be back in just a few minutes here on Pet Life Radio. So don't go away.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. Under the tree.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back here live. So we're just talking about kidney transplant. So in a dog, it's not a good thing. In a cat, it can be done, but it's not an easy slam dunk. And it's very, very expensive. And I was actually faced with this dilemma years ago when it was $25,000. And I spoke to a colleague of mine who is a board certified specialist who I opinion I value like crazy. And yes, thinking about how glorious it would be to advance, give him another 5 years, but at what cost? And when you put everything into perspective with knowing that it may not help, and even he who said, Jeff, if it was mine, I wouldn't do it. There are too many complications, too many problems. It's not a gimme. It's not 100%. It's not even 80%. So anyway, it's one of those things. But as far as New York Yankee, as far as the numbers, how high are the numbers you're asking about? Because I've had, you know, a BUN in the 50s or 60s and giving them, you know, 4 or 5 days, consecutive days of fluids, we dropped it down to almost within normal. So it can. All right. My friend Tommy Pearl, 12, seems to be getting anxiety every night, 6 or 7, just like aging person, never experienced this, my other service dogs. So, I mean, we can definitely put her on some anti-anxiety medication. We could try Xanax. We could try Trazodone. We could try CBD. There's some things that we can do. And again, part of this, Pearl is a gorgeous yellow lab. So 12 is getting up there. I mean, look, my oldest yellow lab ever was Grover. Grover made it to 16 and a half. He was the one that had the bad tumor. But Woody, who is one of my prior labs, was also black lab like Grover was. And Woody made it to 13 and a half. And up to that point was the oldest lab that I've ever had. So 13 and a half, 14 are good. So if we're 12 already, average for lab is 11, 12. So it could be just dementia. It could be pure anxiety. If everything else is good, Tommy, then I would say, you know what? Just let's start some of these medications, see how she does, and then take it from there. If she's eating, I don't know, we'll have to look in our record. Don't know the last time we took a blood test, but I think it was fairly recently. They were pretty good. So in that case, I'd have no qualms with putting her on some medication and see how she does. And she's a great dog. All right. Yeah, Tommy, good. Call me when you can. When an older dog had intermittent episodes of trachea collapse, what meds do you recommend starting first? Oh, if it's an intermittent and everything else is fine, JB, I do the Tussigon in a heartbeat and try to control. Because what happens is when they have trachea collapse, coughing breeds coughing. They try so hard that they actually suck in and the trachea gets even worse. So I would start that. And then also because there's that anxiety, angst factor, anything we do to calm down. So the gabapentin would be a great choice. Yes, we can do the gabapentin. Tussigon, well, the hydrocodone is Tussigon. Tussigon is, that's the brand name. Hycodan or Tussigon are the brand names for hydrocodone bitartrate. So yeah, I would do the combination and that's fine. 2 months, the total was about 10,000, but it was worth it for having her with her dog. What's it now? for 2 months and the total was $10,000, but it was worth it for her. Oh yeah. Now, if you can handle the money, and by the way, Christina, that's a great way to look at it. Say to yourself, from practically from the experts, what can we expect? And let's say they say you might get 10 to 12 to two, you know, up to 24 months. If you can live with that and you can afford it, oh, by all means, I would, of course, and I would hope any pet lover would do it. It's when you have that unknown, when you don't know, or you have statistics that show that the chances are not, it's not at all 100%. And it may not work out. Is this going to put a hardship on you? Is it going to force you to change your lifestyle? Is it going to prevent you from helping one of your children or grandchildren someday if something, heaven forbid, happened? Those are the questions you have to ask. It's very philosophical. It is, if it was worth it. Again, I have a lot of cancers that, and a lot of times, by the way, the cancer surgery is something that we may not know what we're dealing with until we remove it. So I'm a big advocate. It pains me that some people have to make decisions based on purely the finance end and then make a literally a life and death decision about whether we put the dog down or not, or the pet down or not, without knowing what we're dealing with. What I would hate, and I've done this sometimes for my own edification, I will go in and sample something even after the decision was made to put the animal to sleep and find out it was benign, or find out that I got it all the margins. And they were so afraid of it getting sick that they made a what I would call a rash decision. How many times have I begged a client to let me open up and maybe remove the bleeding spleen? Because it may be a hematoma, benign. It may be hemangioma, benign. Yes, most of them are, you know, 70, 60% are hemangiosarcomas. But even with that, we can buy a lot of time, as long as it hadn't spread yet. So we always stage it. We take x-rays, chest. We check the ultrasound of the liver. If we see no lesions anywhere else, and it's just isolated to the spleen, oh, I am a big advocate of opening up. Even if it comes back hemangiosarcoma, we could still buy several months. And I've been thanked so many times for not obviously forcing, it's not my, I can't force them, but for highly recommending that at the very least we go in and see what's going on. And when that dog goes home, and I've had people, if you've checked on Instagram, that have thanked me so much because I gave them their dog back. Oh, I'm a big fan of that. But once you have an answer, or we have an animal that is laden with cancer or laden with a problem with no potential for no guarantee at all of cure, where do we stop? Where do we, you know, put the brakes on? So, all right, I think we got all the questions here. I'll keep myself down. A senior dog to be on a probiotic. Now, that is, I think, very important because, well, if the dog is totally fine in every regard, okay, and not having any issues with stool, appetite, vomiting, everything is totally normal, then maybe not necessary. But I find that probiotics and continuing to help the gut flora, I'll tell you why. Because if an older dog gets a problem because related to some sort of GI imbalance, it's going to affect them a lot more than a younger, healthier dog. So I ask this question, does it hurt them to be on probiotics, even if they didn't need it? The answer is no. They're not that very expensive, easy to get. Why not? Now, but could it hurt them to not be on the probiotics when they could have used it? And the answer there is yes. And a lot of times I answer that question. I'm making a decision about going in on an animal. I did this recently. What are the ramifications of not doing that exploratory, but finding out you needed to, versus doing the exploratory and you get in there, everything looks clean, and you found out that you didn't need it. But doing that, by the way, just because there was nothing in there, it certainly solved and answered a big question. Was there something in there? Was there something in there that we could have fixed? So that in of itself is really a positive. Getting a negative result is really good too, because it just tells you, no need to worry. Now you know you don't have to worry. Before you were guessing if we had to worry. So I opened this animal up and it turns out, had we not, it would have been dead. We would have no reason why. We would have not have known. Opening up gave me the answer. And sometimes I had a cat, everything was pointing to a foreign body, everything, including the studies. And the ultrasound. I went in, could not find anything. So what? We sewed him up. He's doing great. So yes, there was an expense there for the surgery, but sure, peace of mind, put a price on peace of mind. Can you? So just the peace of mind knowing that there was nothing in there, we no longer have to worry about a blockage, that's invaluable. So there you go. All right. Disease patients that probiotics are contraindicated. It's a good question. I'll have to look into that. I've never seen any story or articles about the negative of probiotics. There's always some advantage, even if they don't need it, to add some, you know, gut flora. I've never seen that. I would imagine if there's the form of probiotic, if it is actually causing worsening of a sign, like let's say there was no diarrhea, now on the probiotic is diarrhea, are you giving a chewable probiotic? Are you giving powder? Maybe there's something in that that's causing the problem. And of course you stop. But I haven't heard of any problems. Hold on. Of course, we're not getting to anything I really wanted to talk about as far as, well, not really want to talk. This is much more fun. All right. Something says for two-year-old Jai, who is now a fabulous tripod, suggests would protect his back and his joints. So I would just say maybe a glucosamine or chondroitin supplement as the best you can do for the back, keeping him lean. That's probably one of the most important things you can do. Remember, we have a BCS, a body conditioning score, 1 out of 9, 1 being emaciated, 9 being obese, 5 dead center perfect. I'd go with 4. Just keep a little lighter than perfect, because that'll put less strain on the, and also keep the muscles toned. The 3 muscles that we still have, keep them toned. And it's also now, is the tripod, which leg was the one that was amputated? That's a little important too. Dogs put most of their weight on their front leg, 60%. So if you notice, dogs that have a front leg removed, they now have a different posture. They're leaning back a little bit because they're trying to be easier on their the rest of the body. So, but that's what I would do. The prophylactic joint supplement and keeping them lean and well exercised. Just keep that muscle tone good. Martineau, hello. Stephanie Parks. Right front. Okay, perfect. So you may have noticed already, a two-year-old dog, it's probably hard to tell, but that you may see like a different change in resting posture because, as I said, usually 60% of the weight is on the front legs. So, but, you know, that's great. And by the way, tripods, they look to us, we feel sorry for the dog. They don't feel sorry for themselves, just so you know that. They run, they will do everything. And then I'm sure you've seen on internet, Faith for one scene, that's a dog that has no front legs, hops around like a kangaroo, wags its tail, happy as can be. And then there was a dog that had both front and back legs on the same side, one for cancer, one for like a hit by a car or something accident. And they thought it would never walk again. This dog literally can't stand still, of course, like a bike. Think about a bicycle, a two-wheeler bicycle, really hard to balance it. But how hard is it to balance when you're moving? Easy, we do it all the time. Same thing with this dog. It used its tail to stand up, give it balance, and then starts moving. Once it's moving, don't tell this dog that he has a handicap, because no, he doesn't. In his mind, he's just as good as any other dog out there. So it's amazing what they can do. All right, so a couple of real quick stories. Oh no, we already are so over time. All right. Well, one thing I'll leave you this, because it's somewhat time sensitive. This was noted in Pasadena, here in outside of Los Angeles, north of LA. They don't know whether it was a homeless person or not, but they have him on tape in front of businesses, but near a doggy daycare facilities. And he was leaving food, poisonous or toxic food, out there for the dogs. Things that had grapes, things that were had xylitol, chocolate. Chocolate would be really tough. They'd have to eat a lot of it. But obviously, putting things out there to hurt pets, pretty disgusting. So again, just if you're near a facility, if you see, in general, don't let your dog eat things off of the street or drink water puddled somewhere or eat grass, because you never know what it's laden with. Is it going to have a problem, medical problem? And the other few things are some new rules that we'll discuss. CDC has some new rules about pet travel coming back to the United States, which used to be a no-brainer. So we're going to talk about that next week. So during the week, if you have anything you want to talk about, you're not already reaching me, easy to be Dr. Jeff, PetLifeRadio.com, or here on Instagram. Or if you have my number, many of you do, call me on my phone. But either way, I'll get back to you. And you don't have to wait till Sunday. It's great. If it's really good, I may ask you to come back on a Sunday. A lot of these things, just, and we talk about this all the time, they're good for everybody. It's not just you. I guarantee whatever you're asking, some point, another listener, another viewer had definitely this same problem or knew somebody that had the same problem. It's helpful for everybody. So if I can help everybody, it even makes me happier. All right. So we will see you back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel here on Pet Life Radio, here on Instagram at Werbs_DVM. And pass it around. Tell your friends to come follow me on Instagram. 80% or 70% of U.S. households own a pet. That means 70% of your friends have pets. And I'll bet you, being a pet lover, more of your friends, you're probably not friendly with a lot of people who don't have pets. So it's like close to 100%. So have them follow me here on Instagram, Werbs_DVM. And that way they can reach me at any time. And as you know, I love to help people with their pets. All right. Have a great week, everybody.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.